Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
I am so glad you're here today to listen to this message, because Russ and I kind of talk about what he's going to speak about, and I usually tell him what he can and can't say.
Not totally untrue, but...
Well, today, I'm a wife, okay?
And not mine, by the way.
Not his, but I am a wife of Mark Eaton, and I know what it is to be a problem. But what you're going to talk about is the problem of being a beautiful wife.
The problem with a beautiful wife, yeah.
Right.
And I should be an expert at that.
Exactly. I mean, you have a doll.
Yes, she is.
Absolutely.
I told her the other day, I said, you've got to be the prettiest girl in the world over.
Good job.
And I won't say how old I said, but it would. Mm-hmm. She looks a lot younger than what I said.
Right.
She is a beautiful lady. And I will tell you this. You know, she was a flight attendant for years. And when she first started flying, I went through a spell that it started to bother me. Because, you know, she flies out, they spend the night, and flight attendants don't have a really good reputation all the time.
Right.
There's a bunch of great people that are flight attendants,
yes,
but for some reason they don't have a very good reputation.
Mm-hmm.
That got to bothering me.
Well, sure.
And so I would call her often.
Yeah.
You know, and she finally, in her sweet way, told me to stop doing that. You know, and so I finally did what I should have done right all along. I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what are you going to do about this?
Right.
And I heard from him. You know what he said?
What?
Nothing. I mean, it was just like that. And I thought, wait a minute. I said, you're not going to do anything about this?
Yeah.
And because that's why I need for you to do something. Well, I'm not going to do anything. And I said, you mean, so what if she messes up or something? He goes, I'm going to let her.
Hmm.
And I said, well, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Right.
But there must be something here. And so I asked him what it is. And he said, well, you give people their freedom. He said, Russ, the way you're acting, you're driving her away instead of bringing her in.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And the problem is not her.
Yeah.
The problem is me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I figured that out, I thought, well, you know, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And Susie's like, God took that all the way from me.
There
I never had another jealous moment because I knew God was taking care of us, you know. So in this message, I'm reading about two different men that had beautiful wives, and they were afraid to tell somebody that they were married.
Oh.
So that's all I'm going to say about
it. Okay, you're right. We're going to zip it up right there. All you got to do is sit still, listen in, and you're going to learn loads. I think you already have learned loads. There was a message for someone out there today that needs to stop putting their wife in an accusatory manner when she's not doing a thing in the world but doing her job.
Yeah.
Listen, welcome to Cowboy Church.
It's a good thing to be able to live the Western life, isn't it? So this is one I'd like to dedicate to all of you from Colorado.
Bobby and Jean, they had a dream of moving west and settling down. So they bought a ranch out in Colorado, out near that Denver town. Well, times were hard and they started to argue more than just now and then. And Bobby, he'd saddle up old Jen and ride off into the wind, saying, I got it. Sleep on. Staring into the campfire light. All the fences out on the range seemed strong, but something wasn't right. And then he thought about Jean and all their dreams, and how he left her so angry. And then he knew there were fences down at home he did not see. Boy, you better
when you have a buddy going with you than when you're all by yourself. Ain't that right? Yeah. Jesus is the rock of our salvation, and we should always take everything that we have to the rock. Would you stand up? You've been sitting there for a little bit, and you don't have to stand up through the whole song. Just kind of get a little circulation there, wake yourself up. Thank God for a little bit of the sunshine that came through. When trouble comes like a hurricane, you're just about to go insane. Well, I know a place where you can hide. It don't matter if you're rich or poor, 'cause this house has an open door for all broken hearts and worried minds. So take it to the rock of salvation. Take it to the rock that never will roll. Take it to the rock whose name is Jesus. Take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. And take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. When life hits you like a moving train, and all you see is thunder and rain, we'll say a prayer and the sun will come shining through. And when your back's up against the wall, you're on the edge just about to fall, well, his hand will be there to rescue you. So take it to the rock of salvation. Take it to the rock that never will roll. Take it to the rock whose name is Jesus. Take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. And take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. 'Cause in the shelter of his love,
The weak will be made strong, for a house will never crumble if he's the cornerstone.
Come on, put your hands together.
The unshakable rock. And take it to the rock. The unshakable rock. Just take it to the rock of salvation. Take it to the rock that never will roll. Take it to the rock whose name is Jesus. Take it to the rock. The unshakable rock. And take it to the rock, the unshakable rock.
Sing it to the person next to you.
And take it to the rock,
take it to the rock,
the unshakable rock.
Now, none of y'all looked at the other person.
Take it to the rock.
Come on, sing it to them.
The unshakable rock.
Here you go.
Why don't you take it to the rock?
Take it to the rock,
the unshakable rock. And take it to the rock. The unshakable rock.
Now I want you to give a person next to you, I want you to give them a big old hug and tell them you're glad they're here today, would you?
Instead of a message for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to do a bit of a Bible study, and it will have to do with chapters 21 and chapters 25, or chapters 21 and 26 of Genesis. And it's a really interesting story. It's about history and how important it is to understand history. And actually, the word history is made up of two words. It's his story. His and story is history. So in Genesis 21, verse 22, it says, at that time Abimelech, accompanied by Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in everything you do. And so they went out, they went through all of the process, but if you look back just a little bit further, that what happened is Abraham had his wife, and he was worried about her because Abimelech was a Philistine, and he was the king of the Philistines, and he'd taken an interest in Abraham's wife because she was beautiful. And so Abraham told just a half-truth, which you know that a half-truth is a full lie. But he told a half-truth that she is my sister. Now, what I mean by half-truth in that is that they were out of different mothers, but they had the same father. And so he had married his half-sister. So when Abimelech asked him about his wife, Sarah, he told Abimelech that she's my sister. And then what happened is God sent a plague on Abimelech and the Philistines. And he went to Abraham and said, wife, what's going on here? And he said, well, it's not. She's also my wife. And he said, well, why didn't you tell us? You should have told us, you know, that God could have had, he could have had revenge on us. Look what he did to us. I want you to pray for us. And so Abraham got to pray for Abimelech and his family, and God released the plague off of the Philistines. And then just a little while later in chapter 26, it's like the guy said, it's deja vu all over again. Chapter 26, it says here that when the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, this is Isaac and Rebekah. And he says, when the men ask about his wife, he says, she is my sister. For he was afraid to say, my wife, thinking, the men of the place will kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is a beautiful woman. When Isaac had been there for some time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from the window and was surprised to see Isaac caressing his wife Rebekah. And Abimelech sent for Isaac and said, "So, she's really your wife. How could you say this is my sister?" Isaac answered, "Because I thought I might die on account of her." Then Abimelech said, "What is this you've done to us? One of my people could have easily slept with your wife and you would have brought guilt on us." The guilt was the plague, remember, off of the same guy, same king. It was the plague that was sent on behalf of Abraham and then again on Isaac. And the Lord saved them both because they were afraid due to the fact that they had married a beautiful wife. So the title of our message and our study today is, and the story that we're going to be going over is the problem with a beautiful wife. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, pray God that you would guide our steps and our heart, our words. Lord, may we bring wisdom to our lives through your word and through understanding your word. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot of things that could be said, you know, smart aleck kind of things like, don't marry a pretty girl because then there's a lot of maintenance to it because everybody's going to be wanting her and those kinds of things. Well, Abraham and Isaac both had beautiful wives. In fact, when this happened, Sarah was nearly 90 years old and she was still attractive. So man, what an amazing person she must have been to be that attractive at 90. And even later on, she had Isaac in her late age. But then Isaac married Rebekah, and there was a plague in the land. And so Isaac was thinking about going to Egypt, and God appeared to him and said, "Don't go to Egypt. Go to Beersheba." Beersheba is the south end of Israel. Israel is from Dan. That's the north part to Beersheba. Those are the north and south boundaries of Israel. And Beersheba is down just before the Negev desert, the last part of any kind of where people would live or people would farm was the area of Beersheba. And there is where the Philistines lived, and they moved there. And what Abraham had done years ago, Abraham had wanted to get along with everybody, so he dug a bunch of wells. And to this day, around the Dead Sea, we were there several years ago, around the Dead Sea, they won't let you drive your vehicles now because they're starting to cave in. The earth just caves in. And what comes out of the cave in is they've got these deals of water, and they're fresh and they're pure and they're sweet waters. And it's all the way around the Dead Sea, which is just, it's the lowest place that still has land on it. But around the Dead Sea, it's just salty, and you can, if you try to walk out in the Dead Sea, you'll get in about this deep, and then your feet won't get to the ground because it'll keep you above ground, and it's just nasty. I was there at the Dead Sea. They have these Dead Sea minerals, the salt minerals, and all that kind of stuff, and they have a beach set up where you hang out on the beach, and I did that in Utah. We were at the Great Salt Lake, and it's much the same as Utah. And the place is just kind of grimy, but outside the Dead Sea, they have these places that cave in, and that is the area of Beersheba where the wells that Abraham dug, he dug these wells, and there was fresh water in it, really a good water source. And it's becoming a great water source for Israel now, and these pieces of land are just cave away in the just small tanks, probably about the size of this sanctuary or even smaller, of just fresh water. And so Abraham, as a blessing to Abimelech, had dug several wells until things had started to change. Abimelech liked Abraham, and he said, just let me give you gifts because I know that God is with you and I want him to bless us. And he gave him gifts, and Abraham really got rich. He gained his wealth by living in Beersheba until he got so big that they asked him or escorted him out of the land. And so now, several years later, here's Isaac, and he comes to the land. He's got a beautiful wife. Abimelech is interested in her, and he lies about her, and then Abimelech finds out that she's beautiful. And then so Abimelech wants to do something to make sure that that he knows that God is with Isaac, even though he told a lie that God is with him, that he wanted to make sure that everything was okay. So Isaac went around and redug all the wells that Abraham had dug. And in the redigging of the wells, people would come in and say, well, no, that's our well. And so they had to move to another one. And then they moved to another one. And while he was there, God just blessed him. Every crop he planted, he got 100-fold. He gained livestock. He did really well. And finally, they outgrew the Philistines that were living there. And they asked him to leave. And they left another place and built another well. And God blessed him. And they got to stay there. So some of the items that we begin to look at with this story is this. In chapter 26, verse 5, God says this thing to Isaac. He said, because Abraham listened to me, kept my mandate, my commands, my statutes, my instructions, so Isaac settled in Gerar. He kept the what? He kept the mandate, the commandments, the statutes and instructions. Here's the definitions for those words. Mandate is to guard, watch, charge, or function. It's a mandate. Commands are just commands of commandments. So if there's a commandment given, you keep it. That's the command. And then the statutes are prescribed or enactments. And the instructions are directions, instructions, or law. In other words, Abraham fully submitted to God and to God's plan and to God's orders and directives that he gave him. And because of that, God blessed him. And now Isaac is beginning to see that. And so that the problem with the beautiful wife again comes. So I ask some questions, and it's hard to do on a video situation, but what does it mean to listen? What does it mean to listen? And when I asked this at our Bible study, what does it mean to listen? Somebody said, huh? Which I would expect with our people. But what it means to listen is to actually, when somebody's talking, you pay attention to what they're saying. And there is an art to listening. There's an art to listening. And when people know how to listen, when people have great confidence and they really listen and they hear the details, they hear the heart, they actually hear the story behind the details, and they begin to understand there's a rapport that really happens.
We want to thank you for tuning in to Cowboy Church. You are so faithful to be here. Tell other people about us. Write to us at the address on your screen. There is a QR code down there that would take you to our website if you want to give and help us financially. We appreciate that very much. We'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.